We will now convene a study session of the Mesa City Council. And the first item on our agenda is to hear a presentation and provide direction on an update of the downtown facade improvement program. Mr. McVeigh, we're looking forward to your presentation.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Jeff McVeigh, Manager of Downtown Transformation, and with me today is Jeff Robbins. We wanted to give you a quick overview of the facade improvement program. Since we've started this program, designing this program and coming to council over a year ago, we wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of the what's and whys for the new council members so that we can have everybody up to speed. First, go ahead. What is facade improvement? And forgive me, but facade improvement is just that. It's simply improvement to the building facades. Things like new awnings, storefront improvements, repair to masonry, lighting, signage, and of course in our downtown, the idea of removal of the existing colonnades. The expected outcomes for facade improvement though are that we're going to get increased activity on the street, increased sales in the buildings, new tenants, increased rents, higher property values, and ideally the preservation of that authentic downtown character that we have today. While we were putting together this program, we did a lot of comparative research. We looked at a lot of facade improvement programs throughout the country, and so we wanted to highlight a couple of them that we looked at. Specifically, the first one is Escondido, California. It's one of the older ones in the country, and when we looked around, it was one of the ones that was considered the most successful. Strictly from a cost-benefit analysis, Escondido in the last 25 years has invested just over $1 million into facade improvement programs, and they have seen private investment of almost $10.5 million. So it's essentially a 10-to-1 return on investment for dollar to dollar. Knoxville, Tennessee, another good example. There is actually a fairly new program. They've put $1.25 million into 20 projects, and in doing so, they've gotten back almost $13.5 million in private investment into those projects. Looking at it more from a qualitative perspective, the University of Wisconsin Extension did a study of 24 case studies of facade improvement programs. They went out and they interviewed the participants in those programs, and they found that overall that facade improvement programs resulted in increased sales and increased business activity, as well as a catalyst for additional private investment, either in the buildings that had previously gotten facade improvement money, or essentially it was the idea of keeping up with the Joneses. My neighbors did something really nice to them with the building. My building doesn't look so good anymore, so now I have to do something in order to keep up. So it's with those benefits in mind that we really designed this. We fully anticipate that through a facade improvement program that downtown businesses, downtown properties in Mesa will experience the same positive benefits. So there is one there's a key element that's different and unique for Mesa, though, and that's the colonnades. So through the years, the colonnades have kind of created a chicken and egg issue for us. We would love to be able to take down the colonnades and put up different facades. However, it requires a partnership between the city and those private property owners. The city owns the colonnade, the private property owners own their property. We don't want to take down the colonnade unless we know there's a good design and a good plan for what will happen to the facade behind it. Our property owners don't want to put the money into design until they know the city's going to take down the colonnade. So we've included a design phase into our program that helps to remove that chicken and egg. The intent of the design program, there's $100,000 that's into this through CDBG. It was granted to the program last year, towards the end of last year. The money will become available towards the end of this spring. The intent with that is that we'll be able to take that $100,000 and have designs completed for 10 to 15 properties. We'll have an application process for the property owners to enter into the program. And by entering into the program, they're committing that they will follow through, and that once funding becomes available for the construction of the facade, that they will be able to participate in that construction, and that they will provide a 15% match on the construction phase. We do have some selection criteria that we have created. So our anticipation is that we're going to have a significantly more interest in this facade improvement down program from our downtown property owners than we'll have money available for design. So we've had to create some selection criteria in order to be able to create a ranked ranking of applicants who will get then the design services. And really, this ranking is based off of some of the goals that we have talked about previously, the idea of improving the Main Street frontage, the idea of removing colonnades where it makes sense, not creating gaps in the colonnade that are awkward so that we can get maybe big sections of colonnade removed at a time, so that we get the best bang for our buck. The idea of what is the broader impact on downtown, so the idea of if we do a colonnade removal and facade improvement here, will that have a better effect at increasing pedestrian activity? Or will this be a property that maybe has languished for a while and by doing facade improvement will allow it to transition to a higher and better use? In addition, there's one other element for our downtown is additional points provided to those properties that commit that they intend to use facade improvement to either enhance or maintain, enhance, or bring back the original historic or original architectural character of the building. The next phase, once we have design done, I think I'm going to skip one slide ahead, and then we're going to... Yep, you're right, go back one. Once we have design done, we will have the selection committee, essentially an ad hoc committee that's made up of a member from our Downtown Mesa Association, our Design Review Board, our Historic Preservation Board, and city staff members. This selection committee will review designs and then provide recommendations that will go to our Design Review Board. Once that is done, we essentially have designs that are permittable and ready to go. All we need to do is find the funding for the construction activity. So that would be our second phase, the construction phase of the program. Right now, we are actually wrapping up applications for the next phase of CDBG funding, as well as an application to the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community for their gaming grants. In total, that would equate to $450,000 if successful, that we would then use to directly go into the construction side. So if you were selected for design, you will automatically be eligible for a grant for the construction side. Once you enter that, that's where the 15% match comes in. So each property is eligible for a minimum of $10,000. Depending on how big of a property they are, they could be eligible for up to $50,000. So at the most, the match would be around $7,500. Now, that doesn't preclude any property owner from going over and above what the grant amount is. We'd be more than happy for them to double the amount that they put into it and encourage them to do so. We're actually trying to find the right language in our application to try and get people to think that way. One additional element that I wanted to point out is that we do have, as a requirement for this program, that if you receive a grant, that you will agree to a 10-year facade easement, essentially an easement on the front of your building that says that you will maintain in the condition that it was designed and developed that facade for 10 years. If you're unable to maintain the facade for 10 years, or if you make a change that isn't an improvement that's approved by the city, then you could be responsible or could be required to reimburse that grant that was provided to you. I already talked about this, but I want to highlight our downtown is we have a great historic downtown. There's 14 properties between Country Club and Mesa Drive that, if it were not for the colonnade being there, would be eligible for National Register of Historic Places. Our goal is to highlight that unique character of our downtown and hopefully enhance those historic elements that are actually a real draw from the general public to the downtown. So some of the details, where does this apply? Country Club to Serine, First Avenue, First Street, any commercial mixed-use building. And ideally, we're going to be looking at each applicant, making sure that they're current with the city, that they don't have any active code cases, that they aren't delinquent on their taxes or utility bills, things along that line. Who isn't going to be eligible? Franchises aren't going to be eligible. Residential only buildings aren't going to be eligible. Nonprofits and government institutions won't be eligible. This is a really long list of the activities that are eligible, but the easy way to look at it is if you can see it from the sidewalk and it improves it's attached to the building and it improves the look of the building, then it's probably an eligible activity. We also have a pretty long list of ineligible activities, and it's kind of the inverse of the eligible. If you're standing on the sidewalk and you can't see that improvement, then it's probably not eligible. If it's not a physical improvement to the building, then it's probably not eligible. We've put together a pretty aggressive timeline. We are actually going to be releasing applications to the property owners on February 1st, as well as releasing a solicitation for design consultants on February 1st. The intent is to be able to have all those selections made so that in the end of April, April 30th, that we're anticipating that the CDBG funds will be available. We have to go through a couple layers of review with HUD and with the State Historic Preservation Office. We anticipate that then at April 30th, we'll be able to give the design consultants a notice proceed, and they will go straight into design. We'll have designs completed towards the end of summer, early fall. And if everything times out right and we're successful in our other grant applications, that means we'll have funding available to go roll right into construction activity, which I believe is our next slide. So that we'll skip over the Merry Main Street and Christmas season for construction, so that we don't want to have a lot of construction activity on Main Street, but that we could start construction right away first of next year. Ideally, we'll have enough funding that we'll be able to do the construction for every property that we were completed designs for. However, if we don't, we'll create that ranked order and just go down the list until we are complete. So with that, hopefully that's a quick and informative, but if there's any details that council like to get into, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you very much. Mr. Whitaker.
Where did the CDBG funds come from?
CDBG, Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, Community Development Block Grant Funds were a special release of funds the city had from HUD. We had a pool of Community Development Block Grant money, and we hadn't spent as much as we had been given, so there was kind of I like to think of it as kind of a bank account that was growing, and HUD doesn't necessarily like you to have too much money in reserves. So they released a special announcement for funding opportunities towards the middle of last year, and we applied for that funding to our Housing Community Development Department, which then goes to the Finance, Communities Cultural Development Subcommittee of the Council, which then is acted on Council for approval of the recommendations.
Mayor and Council, and to Councilmember Whitaker, that process will be getting here again for the next round, and so we'll have an opportunity to kind of share with Council that whole process and that we go through in determining the priorities for community development block grants for this next round of selections by the Council. So we'll be getting into that pretty quickly. I think what Ms. McVeigh is saying is that there was a specific separate allocation or dollars that became available during last year that was for a specific amount of money, and the Council acted quickly to allocate those dollars, and that's where the dollars were identified for the design phase came from.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your work on this. Just some observations. I know with Merry Main Street, when I was walking from the Christmas tree celebration back across, you know, with the colonnades and things, it was really cramped. A lot of vendors, you know, pedestrian traffic, egress, just walking in general. Just may take that in consideration in the project. I don't know how many walked that. I'm sure you did. Has there been any pushback from any of the property owners there with these improvements at all? I'm sure you've done some visiting with them, the Downtown Merchants Association.
Mayor, Councilmember Freeman.
Then I have one more after that.
As of today, a little tongue in cheek, the pushback we have gotten is that we're not moving fast enough getting this money out there and available to them.
Fair enough. I saw that residential properties were excluded. Can you explain that a little bit more, why they were?
Residential properties only. Specifically, we have very few that are in our study area that we're working on, that Country Club to Serine, First Avenue to First Street. In addition, this is really intended to increase the pedestrian activity on Main Street, increase sales tax revenues, things along that line. We didn't have a specific reason for excluding residential properties beyond the intent and the goals for our program were to increase the commercial activity, increase the pedestrian activity on the street, and really try to help activate Main Street versus trying to activate the residential areas.
Okay, so my follow-up with that, just in my travels, I've noticed that in a lot of cities that they have residential apartments or condos and things on main streets, and to me, having the pedestrians and people living there, they're going to provide some, you know, when they're living and buying and eating there, they're going to provide some sales tax revenue mm-hmm. to the community. So I just thinking about what if we took if the old Aswear building was renovated into apartments, luxury apartments, or market rate housing. You know, I think those things may be coming because a light rail could extrapolate some of those businesses. So I just want to think a little bit broader than excluding them, that maybe we can accommodate them.
Yeah, Mayor, Councilor Freeman, that's an interesting idea. Let me ask a question, though, because I'm, you know, that may be a very good point why we shouldn't exclude them. Is there any restrictions, Liz, I'm kind of looking at you, is there anything because of CDBG funding that would prohibit it from being used for residential for the facades, or are we still okay? Okay, good. Okay, I just want to make sure of that case. So and if that's the council's direction, we could include this.
And definitely we can include if that's your direction. But also, I'd like to also point out that in our downtown, we would anticipate mostly where residential happens along Main Street in the downtown would be part of a mixed-use building. And all mixed-use developments would be eligible for the facade improvement program as we have drafted it today. But we can definitely include residential-only properties as well.
I'm just saying in the future, somebody wants to redevelop a building and create a historic, you know, because some people love to live in historic buildings. Yeah. And that's out there and coming. And we do have them along our Main Street area only.
And we do actually have the tower at Robeson and Pepper that would not be a bad property to enter into the program.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah. Is there a colonnade in front of the tower?
No.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of colonnade properties on Main Street. I don't think there are any exclusively residential colonnade properties, are there?
No.
So they'd all be mixed use, so they should all be eligible.
However, Mayor, the selection criteria has been weighted towards Main Street and towards those colonnade properties at this time, but it does not specifically say that only colonnade properties will be eligible for funding, so there could be a possibility that there would be some that... Right.
Based on the direction Yeah, I think that's a good point. No reason not to include them and let them compete to be a part of it. But I off the top of my head, I can't think of who that would be. Mr. Winkle.
I just wanted to make a comment that with this facade improvement, the sprinkler program, I mean, some of the other things happening, like historic rehabilitation tax credits, there's a lot of opportunities for people like Queens and Oro Brewery and Worth, who have already done a really good job themselves to do things, so I hope that people out there are watching take this into account and really do something, you know, take the initiative.
And Mayor, Councilmember Winkle, I just want to note that we've learned from some of our past experiences with using CDBG funding for projects like this. We have a really strong team here, Jeff, Kelly Keffer with our Economic Development Office, Dennis Newcomb with the Housing and Community Development Office. We have designed this in a way that it is as user-friendly to the property owners to enter into as possible. Other CDBG programs, there would be so much paperwork that it would actually be a deterrent to entering into the program. We have set this up so that the city will administer this program as much as possible in-house, and that the actual applicant on the outside will have the very easy process of filling out an application, giving us a little paperwork, but then watching the improvements happen.
Yes, Mr. Whitaker.
Are there any property owners that have already done facade improvements that are upset that think that, hey, if I had waited, I would have got all this done for free, essentially, or 85% funded?
Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, we have not actually had a real facade improvement completed in on Main Street or in downtown in I think over 10 to 15 years. The last slide of our presentation shows one of the best examples of a facade improvement that we have. It's almost indistinguishable. Those are the same buildings, but that was private investment. But that was probably 15 years ago that that was done as well.
So there was a demonstration project 10 or 15 years ago, and that was this building?
No, this was actually a completely private investment. The demonstration project was the bookstores, Dixon's Jeweler, and what used to be the DMA office. I can't remember what's in there right now. Right. It's no longer the vaping shop either, though.
Jeff, I think before that, one of the drug stores there on the corner, I believe, of McDonald and Main, northwest corner, they did some opening up, and they found all the trellises and old windows there. So that was probably 20 years ago or 18.
Thank you. I know that Mr. Luna has a question. Mr. Luna.
Thank you, Mayor. Jeff, great job. I know you have a various list of timelines to get this completed. So I have two questions. First of all, do you think that you'll be able to complete it based on CDBG requirements to spend the money on the time option? And the other one is something that Councilmember Richard said. What are we going to do to try to mitigate that toothless feel for those that don't want to participate?
Did you catch that, Jeff?
Mayor, Councilmember Luna, I'm gonna hope I got the question correct. I think your first question was related to whether or not we can work within the timelines with the CDB regulations. Was that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. We feel very confident. Our intent is to have the monies expended for this first phase of design by the end of June, which would keep us in compliance with our CDBG requirements and HUD's goals of when this money is expended. There is a possibility that we won't be able to get all the designs done, but at that point we feel very confident that we will have made enough progress that HUD will give us a little bit of an extension on the timeline. And the second question. I'm sorry, if you could repeat the second part of the question.
What are we going to try to do to mitigate that? Councilman Wilson used to talk about the toothless roof.
Yes.
So we have some redevelopment, some upgrades, and then, you know, we still have the colonnades, and then how are we going to try to mitigate that?
The missing tooth syndrome, yes. We have actually put into our selection criteria some standards where the impact of the applicant, how that one applicant relates to their neighboring properties and how it relates to colonnade sections. We have I think over 20 unique sections of colonnade. Some of those sections cross over property lines, expand beyond multiple storefronts. So we're going to look at one applicant in relationship to its neighboring applicants in relationship to that segment, and that will actually be part of our criteria in how we select properties.
We're also going to be releasing a map and it'll be out on our page, the downtown transformation page, that will help people who are applying to see which neighbors also share a segment, so that hopefully they'll be going to their neighbors and saying, hey, do you want to get on this program with me, and we can remove entire segments at once.
Maybe our goal, hopefully, is if we can show our applicants who they would have to convince in order to get an entire segment taken care of, that they'll apply a little peer pressure on their neighbors to join the program as well.
Thank you, Mr. Luna.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Luna, any other questions?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So the city owns the colonnades. And so I think that it's important to remind everybody here that this is, we have skin in this game. We own this stucco box that it sits in front of downtown Main Street. And we're responsible for maintaining that. We're responsible for painting it. We're responsible if it falls down and hits somebody, you know, that's our fault. So we are the owners of the colonnades. And so it's entirely appropriate for us to go back and say, we want to renovate or tear them down or make them more beautiful. But, Jeff, going forward, who will own the shade structure in front of these buildings? Is it going to continue to be the city, or will they own the new and improved shade structure? Who's responsible for that going forward?
Mayor, without having the design solutions in place today to know how they're going to work, but if we remove the colonnade and the shade structure is attached to the building, that becomes the building owner's property and their responsibility for maintenance.
Okay. I like that, but then I like having some control so that if there's a property owner that's that's behaving unresponsibly, I can say, sorry, you need to. But on the other hand, I like handing the keys to the shade structure in front of a building to that property owner. But it's just something to talk about, I guess. What are the pros and cons of getting out of the shade business in downtown?
And Mayor, we've really been thought about that a lot. The colonnades, whether or not we like them architecturally, how heavy they are, that shade is a really nice amenity for our downtown. It makes it a walkable place in those hotter months when normally it likely wouldn't. So what we didn't talk about with this is our design criteria, and we have very specific criteria that we intend that design must meet. And number one on that is providing shade. It might not be the exact same one-for-one replacement of shade, but there is a shade solution that still makes it a good pedestrian environment even in our summer months.
Okay. Well, thank you. So this is kind of another demonstration project. We're going to go and do 10 or 15 of these. How many remaining city-owned colonnades will there be there after we take care of these first 10 or 15?
There'll be,
We had 147.
There's still quite a few after that, Mayor.
Did I hear over 100?
There was 147 different properties that we had marked as having a colonnade in front of it, and that is including those that would be on First Street and First Avenue. So that's the entire eligibility area, not just on Main.
We have colonnades on First Street and First Avenue.
Excuse me.
McDonald and Robeson, going north and south.
That's all the properties. That's all the properties we identified that could be eligible to have a facade.
But as far as the colonnades, it just goes to McDonald?
It goes down McDonald and part of a small section on Robeson going north.
Okay. Well, thank you. Council, any additional questions? We'll look forward to additional updates. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda is item 1B, appointments to council committees, regional and other committees and boards. Any motion on this? Thank you, Mr. Glover. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Any discussion on this? Yes, Mr. Whitaker.
So the three board members that were assigned to the Public Safety Board, I believe that the biggest issue facing the city is the fact that our public safety 10 years ago was consuming around 50% of our general fund budget. It's now encroaching on about 75% of our general fund budget. Just want to wish you guys the best of luck in coming up with solutions to solve that problem.
Thank you. I think we all share that responsibility. So these boards are, it's probably a good time to talk about what a city council board is. We divide the boards up, and it kind of allows for some heavy lifting in smaller, three-person boards to get into a lot of the nuts and bolts and spreadsheets and numbers and make recommendations to the council. But council committees don't actually make decisions. They just may bring issues back to the full council. So we appreciate council members serving on these boards so that we can do some more heavy lifting and delve into some more detailed questions. But any action items take place only here with all seven council members. So that's kind of the formula that we followed and seems to be working. But I share your concern that we do have a lot of public safety issues that we look forward to the Public Safety Committee helping us with, but ultimately those decisions are going to be made here. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Luna. Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much. Next item on our agenda is item 2, information pertaining to current job order contracting projects. Council, any questions? Yes, Mr. Glover.
I just have a quick question on number 1. The 10th Street traffic calming measures. Has staff worked with the neighborhood and those that will be affected by this?
We've had extensive, good morning, Mayor, Councilmember Glover. We've had extensive conversations with the neighborhood out there, and we've gone back and forth on a variety of alternatives. This one is a more moderate alternative where we're just doing some changes at Westwood and 10th and then narrowing in some areas. And we are adding sidewalk. We've been out and met with all the neighbors where we're adding the sidewalk because we need temporary construction easements to do it. And they're all signing and all agreeing to the sidewalk. And they're all pretty happy with the reduced number of improvements we're doing out there to help with the traffic calming. It's significantly less.
Okay, well, thank you. Any other questions, Council, regarding any current job order contracting projects? If not, next item three is hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Anything since our last meeting we'd want to discuss or let people know about?
Okay.
Next item, number four, schedule of future meetings. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I get to future meetings, I just want to recognize that today is Mr. Dan Clevenger's last study session this morning. Mr. Clevenger, we'll be celebrating, mourning his departure later this afternoon. But I wanted just to express my appreciation to his leadership. He has played two significant roles with the city of Mesa. He's been the director of transportation. And then whether he liked it or not, he became the water resources director and has done a great job there. So we want to thank him for a job well done, and we will miss him and appreciate all that he's done for the city. And then I also want to recognize Jake West is here with us, right? Jake's here. Raise your hand. Jake is our, we recently appointed him to be the new director of water resources. So Jake has a great story. He started off in fleet services, changing tires. Is that right, Jake? Or something? What was it?
Greasing
garbage trucks. Even lower than the tire. He's about as far as bound you can get going under in greasing garbage trucks. And so it's a proud moment for Mesa to see one of its own who started at that position is now, and Jake's done taken on many responsibilities, but he's also gone and gotten his education and gone through that process. So we are pleased to have Jake leading the department. Just a few announcements. Our next study session will be Thursday, February 2nd at 7:30 a.m. Mesa's annual historic home tour will be this Saturday, January 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can get more information at www.mesamuseum.org. Reminder that the 2017 Regional Annual Unity Walk is this Saturday, January 28th. They'll be meeting at the Tempe Amphitheater at 5:45, and the walking route is approximately 1 mile. The next Household Hazardous Waste Collection event will be on Saturday, February 4th from 8 to noon. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Brady, I'll add to your report, and you may not be aware, but this year is the 140th anniversary of the founding of your Lehigh community in Mesa. So there's a lot of festivities planned on the 28th this Saturday. We actually have a horse mule ride and a walk in commemoration of the pioneers who crossed the Salt River and settled Lehigh that eventually founded Mesa. So there'll be that going on this weekend, too.
Very good. Well, let me add my congratulations. I know there's an event later this afternoon that will more formally thank you, but this might be the only public meeting where we get the chance to just echo what Mr. Brady said. You've had a wonderful career, and you've done a lot for our city. We really appreciate it. And Jake, congratulations to you. We're looking forward to all that you're going to do for us. I'll appreciate all that you've done over the course of your career as well. Thank you, gentlemen. If there's nothing else, we'd entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Thompson, Mr. Glover. All in favor, please say aye.
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 See you later, Mr. Luna. We are adjourned.
Thank you.